Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for, well, I think of it as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. A man whom I've come to know and admire greatly for his service in a number of different capacities is our first guest. He is Jack David. He formerly was a Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Combating Weapons of Mass Destruction and Negotiations Policy. He also co-chaired the North Atlantic Treaty Organization's Senior Defense Group on Proliferation, and in a number of other capacities has got the creds to talk about the national security threat posed by the proliferation taking place in Iran as we speak, being condoned by the Obama administration and likely to flow from it elsewhere in the region and perhaps beyond. He is today a senior fellow and member of the Board of Trustees at the highly esteemed Hudson Institute. Jack David, welcome back to Secure Freedom Radio.
Thank you, Frank. Thank you for inviting me for this conversation. It's always a pleasure to talk with you.
Well, thank you. It's a particularly timely conversation, I think you would agree, because of what's happening at the moment. You have recently written a piece with the very apt and largely ignored point that you cannot reason with a regime like that running Iran at the moment. Develop that thought, if you would.
The impetus for most of American foreign policy since the end of the Second World War was to create a world in which disputes would be resolved, not by force, but by negotiations, a world in which freedom had a chance to survive, where democracy might thrive, where countries would treat one another as adversaries, but would resolve their differences and pursue their ambitions in a constrained way so that war and death didn't result. That's not the kind of world that some people in the world want to have. But we have been thankfully pursuing it and successfully pursuing it, largely because we've had the preeminent military in the world over these years, and that threat of force always stood behind our quiet diplomacy. But the world has changed, and the bad actors in the world have perceived that we have not only a different view of the world, but we also have a weakness in pursuing that view. And that is that we keep our eye on the world that we want, even after our experience shows that the people with whom we're negotiating about a sharp difference have no such ambition and have no compunctions about breaking any of the rules which we have hoped the world would be bound by going forward.
Jack David, you've put your finger very well on kind of the crux of the matter, that this requires us not simply to be hoping for some better world and trying to strive for it. It really requires what our next guest, Andy McCarthy, has called willful blindness to what is actually the policy and practice and programs of, in this case, most especially, the Iranian regime. And, you know, I was very pleased to have John Bolton, former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, with us at a conference that we had in South Carolina over the weekend, in Columbia, South Carolina. We called it the National Security Action Summit. And he was scathing in his criticism of this deal and the conduct of the administration in pursuing it. He actually described it as, quote, unprecedented surrender, unquote. You are a man with deep knowledge of this business of arms control and the negotiations that have been conducted by various administrations with various bad actors in this vein. And particularly, you have a lot of expertise with respect to what, you know, that results in when badly done towards, you know, a more proliferated world. Characterize, if you would, this deal as it's shaping up now. Do you agree that it constitutes unprecedented surrender?
My good friends John Bolton and Andy McCarthy, I think that wishful thinking is a good accompaniment to Andy McCarthy's willful blindness, and I think we have both. And John Bolton's views about this are right on the money. Let me give you some factoids about this Iranian deal. We started, quote, negotiating, unquote, this deal with the objective of having Iran agree to zero enrichment. We've changed that to allowing them to have 1,500 centrifuges, then 4,500 centrifuges, then 6,500 centrifuges, to perhaps even more than that.
Remind us why that matters so much. What is it about these centrifuges that makes them so problematic in any number?
The essential ingredient necessary to create a nuclear weapon is the material that would give rise to a chain reaction when properly configured. Centrifuges are used to create that material, uranium-235. And without getting into the details, uranium in nature has only a very tiny percentage of uranium-235 amongst all the different varieties of uranium that are in the ore. The centrifuges help refine it so that the U-235 is there to be used for purposes including making nuclear weapons.
This is the so-called enrichment process, and the more highly enriched, the more problematic it becomes. So your point is that we've conceded on this kind of critical element in a nuclear weapons program.
And we've also conceded on other things as well in these negotiations. We started the negotiations saying that we were going to have an insistence on there be immediate compliance with numerous concerns of the International Atomic Energy Agencies about the possible military use and dimensions of Iran's program. We said that we were going to do that before any agreement could be reached. Now it's been treated as an implementation issue to be resolved later, if at all. So Iran is in violation of not providing the answers that the inspections, the verification people, have insisted upon for the last 10 years.
Even before we get into the agreement that they're supposed to monitor. I mean, it boggles the mind. Let me ask you quickly, Jack David, the Hudson Institute, what do you make of the thrash that we're now witnessing as a result of 47 United States senators writing the Iranians, just putting them on notice as to the importance of Congress being part of the process whereby this deal is formalized as binding on the United States?
I think it's a complete, I think the thrash, as you put it, is a complete distraction and an unfortunate distraction for people who don't concentrate on the issues and spend as much time on the issues as you and I do. People whose lives are filled with other things and don't have the time to do that. The real issues are the ones that you and I were just talking about. I think that the Congress has a role. I don't see anything objectionable to the 47 senators expressing their view about the Obama administration creating an extremely dangerous world, an extremely dangerous situation for the United States and for its allies by proceeding in the Iranian negotiations in the manner that they have been.
When you see the administration not using this expression of concern by nearly a majority of the United States Senate as leverage, as Tom Cotton pointed out on a Sunday program yesterday, does it suggest to you as a skilled negotiator that they're not only missing an opportunity for leverage to get a better deal, but that they are actually playing into the Iranians' hands by castigating the people who are pointing out how our constitutional process works?
I think you're right, but I think we have to get back to the first point that I made in the first question that you asked me in this conversation. And the first point is that the negotiations with the Iranians are pointless because their perception of the world and their perception of themselves as a growing empire to reclaim their historical role as an imperial power in the Middle East is at odds with the result that we claimed at the beginning of these negotiations that we were hoping to achieve. There never was a chance of achieving those goals. The Iranians said at first that they would never give up their right to nuclear weapons program or nuclear. They said they never had a nuclear weapons. They'd never give up their right to nuclear enrichment and to pursue that. They would not even allow discussion of their missile program in the thing. So there was never any point to these negotiations in the first place. And for Congress to be excluded and the administration effort to go around the Congress, it's a horrible situation.
Jack David, we appreciate extraordinarily the work that you have done with our government and that you're doing today at the Hudson Institute and your insights at Real Clear World, among other places. Come back to us again very soon as this story continues to unfold. We are very much in need of your reason, shall we say, and why we can't reason with Iran. Next up, we'll talk with Eric Stackelbeck about another of these threats, the Islamic State. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.